Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In tonight's lesson, there are a number of themes that we could focus on, but the one that I think we need to pay most careful attention to this evening is the public denial and rejection of Jesus, who is called Christ. Pilate is trying to get Jesus released. He has a custom of releasing a prisoner to the Jews every Passover. And so he thinks that if he brings out a notorious criminal and offers them a choice between Jesus and this notorious criminal, surely they will choose to release Jesus rather than this notorious criminal. The man's name was Barabbas, which oddly enough is translated son of the father, Barabbas, son of the father. Barabbas was a brigand. He was a robber, and he was a murderer and a political revolutionary. So he was a bad guy. And so Pilate wants to release Jesus, so he thinks that if he presents them with the choice, Jesus or Barabbas, they will choose Jesus and let him go. But when he confronts them with this, they ask for Barabbas, because the chief priests and the elders of the people had persuaded the multitude, ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So Pilate asks, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate was shocked. He said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. Now notice it says, they all said unto him, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they only cried out the more, let him be crucified. So Pilate saw that he could do nothing to release Jesus, and he saw that a tumult was about to ensue. And so he washed his hands as a testimony to the people that he considered Jesus to be an innocent man. And then he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And they all answered, his blood be on us and on our children. And so he released Barabbas, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So here we see that the very people who had every reason, trained in the scriptures, filled with the word of God from their youth up, would have had every reason to see the fulfillment of prophecy and the meaning of miracles, and to draw the proper conclusion that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, even as he had confessed to be. And yet, they not only deny him and reject him, but they do so vehemently, and they do so preferring a murderer to Jesus. And when we see this, our hearts are meant to think that we should not prefer sin and the world's counterfeits, so that we also deny Christ like the crowds before Pilate, but that rather we hold fast and confess him in faith before the world as the provider of redemption and salvation, a redemption and salvation that extends even to those who rejected him, even to those who denied him, and even to people like Barabbas. Jesus has paid for all sin for all people. There's no one who can say, this is not meant for me. Our Lord Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He has saved us to the uttermost. Therefore, when we see him being denied, we pray, dear God, let me never deny you before men, but rather enable me to hold fast and to confess you before the world, no matter what. Now, in order to think about confession and denial, we need to take a look at a few passages of Scripture. And the first one is from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is teaching and he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What Jesus is saying here is, sparrows are the commonest bird that you can imagine, and they are sold very cheaply. But not one of them falls to the ground without your Father which is in heaven. And not only that, the very hairs on your head are all numbered and known by God. Therefore, he says, fear not, you are worth more than many sparrows. And you could see the smile on Jesus' face when he said this. You are worth more than many sparrows. So here, what Jesus is saying is how intimately connected to us God is, and how interested he is in our welfare, and how intimately he knows us, that he has numbered all the hairs on our head. Therefore, we should not fear and should not doubt that we have a gracious Heavenly Father. But then Jesus goes on and he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying that on the day of judgment, I will speak up for those who confessed me, and I will confess them to be my very own. And also, not only on judgment day, but now, as the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he always makes intercession for us, He is always speaking and confessing. He, she, they are mine. They belong to me. They are my believers, my dear Christians. And so Jesus says, he that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And so, those who denied him at his trial before Pilate, and all throughout history who have persisted in their unbelief despite the work of the Holy Ghost to the contrary, they have denied him, they have rejected him, they have spurned his redemption. He will say, I never knew you. Let's look for a moment at Acts chapter 3. Peter and John have just performed a miracle. They had healed a lame man who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And the whole crowd gathered because hundreds and hundreds of people saw this miracle with their own eyes. And so you have this man who was for years known. He was a known person in the city of Jerusalem. Everyone who went to the temple would see him sitting there day after day begging and knew that he was long a lame person. But now he was standing and jumping and leaping and rejoicing in the Lord with Peter and John. And so Peter begins to preach. And he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So we're experiencing the account of the trial before Pilate from a different perspective here, all right? And Peter is using it to preach the law to the Jews who were heading to the temple to participate in the morning sacrifice. And so he says to them, you delivered him up, you denied him, but God the Father has glorified him. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So notice, Peter takes the time to show them their sin and the error of their ways, not because he wants to get back at them and make them feel bad, but because he wants them to listen to the good news. And so when he says that you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of his resurrection. And furthermore, his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, not only does he testify to the death of Jesus, but he testifies to the resurrection of Jesus, and then he points to the miracle, to the man who they all knew was just previously a long time afflicted person, and is now in perfect soundness of health. And he points to him and says, it is through faith in the name of Jesus, the faith which is by Jesus, that has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then he says, now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. You did not know what you were doing. As Jesus said when he was nailed to the cross and they lifted him up on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so here, Peter says, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So he said, all of this was foretold by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All right? Everything that took place by the will and counsel of God the Father. Therefore, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. And so you see here, Peter preaches the law to convict them of their sin, and then he preaches the good news of the prophesied, planned work of God, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he says, repent and be converted so that you may be refreshed in Jesus Christ. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. St. Paul says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are ye saved through faith. And so, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, the heart is made by the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus and to be justified, declared righteous in Christ through faith. And then faith begets the confession of the mouth. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who shall be ashamed? Pilate shall be ashamed. Those who deny Jesus shall be ashamed. Those who persist in their enmity against God's word, against God, and against Christ, they shall be ashamed. But the Christian believer, beleaguered though he or she may be in this world, shall not be ashamed. We shall not be shown to have believed in foolishness, but our faith in Christ will be most wonderfully vindicated. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. So no matter who you are, the Lord God, the God of all, is rich toward all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where we want to be. We don't want to be among the deniers, the rejecters, the despisers. We want to be among those who believe with the heart and confess with the lips and are comforted with this promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.